Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. Please tell me you have. That's been such an interesting assignment by us. The project's now, we're into our second week. Can you believe it? And my goodness, to do that television work again has been such a learning curve, but fabulous. Learned a lot. And well, as I say, we're into our second week and hopefully rolling up into a long-term contract that there with ENCA. Anyway, now is the time that we can talk about the latest developments and what they mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk. It's exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. And today is Thursday, the 27th of November, 2025. Glad to have you with me. So the big story of the moment that seems to have passed by pretty much everybody is platinum. So now, let me just put this into context here for South Africa. Platinum is our biggest export earner. At one point, coal was a bit bigger, but and going back into the past, gold was bigger. But now, and gold's still pretty sizable, but platinum is number one. And in the 12 months to the end of May, to give you context, platinum generated 170 billion rand in foreign exchange for this country. So what happens to the platinum price? Pretty important. We call it the PGM price because it's platinum group metals. And there are various metals in there. When platinum is refined, you get the rhodium and the platinum and palladium and some of the other metals as well. Peter Major would be able to ring them off very quickly. But the PGM basket is what the platinum companies listed on the stock market here in South Africa call it. And they have been on a tear. The platinum price itself is up 60% in the past few months. That's since the end of May. And the end of May are the last export figures we've got. So we can keep watching now the export figures. And of course, the big story is, can it stay there? Now, if you're sitting in Treasury and you know that the Rand is strong and you know that you've now got this wonderful achievement that the finance department, the minister, the politicians have kind of been corralled into agreeing to a 3% inflation target. There's so many implications of that, as we spoke about with Davey Root. And if you haven't had the chance yet to go and absorb that director's cut, the full interview with Davey, please do it, because it's another of the stories that was hit the headlines and then didn't really understand. It was like driving past one of those old newspaper billboards and you think, oh, okay, that's interesting. But actually, this is more than interesting. That 3% inflation target it's a game changer for South Africa. As we achieve it, and I have no doubt that with someone like Lesetse Kganyago sitting in the Reserve Bank, he's going to be reminding those politicians. And then the politicians, of course, you've got the Government of National Unity. The people on the opposition benches, traditionally in Parliament, will be reminding those in the ANC that you can't just make up the rules. You've got to follow things that will require you to not increase your spending by more than 3%. And as Davey said, one of the big problems is that our finance minister has actually got budgets going forward at between 4 and 5% in spending increases. You can imagine when it comes to negotiating public sector salaries, we have an inflation target of 3%. How can they in good conscience go to the country and say, well, we want 5%, or you know, usually it's much more than that, but they will have to settle at 3% or be called unpatriotic. Well, there we go. There's a nice angle onto that. Anyway, whatever. The point of the matter is that the inflation target at 3% has got all kinds of consequences because the value of the rand is determined by the difference in the inflation rate in South Africa with that of other countries. Of course, there are other things that come into it, like confidence and would money come into the country in the long term and so on. But You can make a case for and against confidence for every country in the world, and you can make a very strong case to say that the confidence in South Africa investing here has never been lower. So whatever, you're not going to lose on that one. That's not going to affect the rand any worse. And anyone who's traveled internationally will know that by comparison, the rand is unbelievably cheap. And that's why we're seeing so many tourists coming in. And now we're getting a lovely pickup on something like platinum, our biggest export, up 60%. As that money flows into the system, that will have a benefit as well. And that will help to lift economic growth. So who knows? Maybe the ANC is going to get bailed out by the GNU and get bailed out by things like the platinum price. But is it sustainable? And that was really the big question. That was the question I asked Peter Major. And in yesterday's Mining Web Weekly, Pete went into quite a lot of detail on why it is sustainable. And it's a similar argument to the one that we're seeing around the world where Donald Trump came in. He shone a very sharp searchlight onto the whole idea that you must abandon everything and go into renewable energy because of, what did they call it, net zero. And that has shown to be an extremely expensive exercise, disastrous for some economies. Ask Germany. Germany and the UK are paying double the energy fee costs of other countries. And China, on the other side of the world, is continuing to pump more CO2 into the atmosphere. So what's going on here? The UK, which is maybe 0.5% of the CO2 emissions, is cutting its down to 0.25%, say, whereas China, which is like 25%, has been going up to 26-27%. So really, the impact that that Germany and the UK have on the whole net zero story is just, it's all about virtue signaling. It's all about, we're doing the right thing. And it's all about ideology. And ideology, as my goodness, we know so well here in South Africa, is very, very expensive. It's time to get practical. I wish we could get more practical when it comes to our relationship between South Africa and the United States. But the way Donald Trump's behaving, I can understand why Pretoria is saying, oh, no way. We're not going to be entertaining that guy's whims. And the fact that Trump now doesn't want to invite South Africa to the G20 next year, and he's making a big public show of it, is something else that I suppose is going to put up backs. A very good piece on Biz News by John Mattison. In fact, he's got two really good pieces there. The one looked at how Trump could be bailing out the ANC, platinum helping as well, the platinum price going up as it is. And the other one that we published this morning is he's having a look at the ructions within the Democratic Alliance and John Steenhuisen's personal financial maladies are likely to affect his leadership opportunities. In 5 months' time, the DA will be voting either to keep him or to get a new leader. And John Mattison says that Steenhuisen may well step down or step away rather than get defeated. And if he were to do so, that would open the way for his friend, Jordan Hill Lewis, to stand as the DA's leader into the future. Helen Zille has already said that she's going to step away. She's going to focus on becoming the mayor of Johannesburg. And Ashur Sarapin, the deputy finance minister, has said that he's going to be standing to take over Helen's job as the chair of the federal executive. So that's the one leadership role seems, and most people see in the DA seem to say, well, Ashur should actually, he'll do a really good job there. But when it comes to the leader of the party, which is apparently the top of the pyramid, it'll be interesting to see whether Steenhuisen gives it another go, because there'll be lots of competitors, not including apparently Jordan Hill Lewis. If Steenhuisen stands, Hill Lewis will stay aside. But that's all in the wind. So we've got such interesting political issues happening at the moment, and they do impact our country's opportunities into the future and the investments as well. Just one other thing, there's been quite a lot of feedback on the WhatsApp channels about Lesaka and why we sold out of Lesaka and invested into HCI. Well, I'm very happy with HCI because it's a deep value investment, and that is for the state that the market's in right now. It's kind of the place that you want to have a greater exposure to. And we saw this again in today with the financial results coming out from its 50%, HCI's 50% subsidiary, Tsohosun, which reported for the 6 months to the end of September that it is now going to be buying back its shares. It actually slashed the dividend by half, so it can use that money to buy back shares. It's also selling its stake in City Lodge to buy back shares. And why would you be buying back shares? Because it's the best investment you can make. Why would it be the best investment? Because the share price is too low. So you would imagine that HCI, which has been buying back shares, but not as aggressively as maybe its shareholders or some of its shareholders would have wanted, HCI might itself start doing a little bit more aggressive buybacks. And all you have to do is have a look at what happened with NASPAS process. They've returned $42 billion to shareholders, put a huge underpin onto that share price, and process is up 50% this year. So all around, I like HCI. The problem with Lesaka is that it's all about the future. And sure, it could be fantastic. But the worry for me on Lesaka is they've been on a acquisition trail, and having had a couple of acquisitions in my life that we made, my goodness, just even small ones to try and settle in the people and settle in the culture and to get your culture as the acquirer to permeate the whole organization is a tough task. And if you look at the number of acquisitions that Lesaka has done, their hands will be very, very full. Well, that's it. I'm going to leave it there for today. Please keep your eye on the premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.